The Middle Child, Part 4. Adam's presence had never inspired so much joy in anybody. At least Sam was fairly certain it hadn't. He'd been an oops on John Winchester's part, and given what Sam knew, he hadn't been planned on his mother's side either. His arrival at the motel room, though, it caused Sam to hear angels singing. At least it would have if he hadn't known several angels that wanted to either vaporize him or offer his meat suit up on a silver platter to the ruler of hell. In any case, Adam's return broke the very chilly attitude that Dean had started to cop once Sam got the story out about Lucifer visiting his dreams. They hadn't even gotten to the whole discussion of their future because Dean had just shut down and refused to say anything. It was unpleasant, but not necessarily surprising. "Those do not look like happy orgasm faces," Adam stated. Sam kind of wanted to punch him because, yeah, even Dean had more tact than that. Sam kind of wanted to punch him because, yeah, even Dean had more tact than that. Stupid little brother. Dean snorted but didn't say anything. Adam looked over at Sam inquiringly. "What?" Sam bit out defensively. "Nothing. It's just... there are drugs that can help. I know that you're both still young, but this demon and angel stuff is pretty heavy. There's no shame in admitting that you need help. It's perfectly normal to suffer from occasional erectile dysfunction, especially with the most unhealthy lifestyle that you lead with the constant driving and the fast food and the... Please, please stop. Like now, before you give Dean a heart attack," Sam said as he covered Adam's mouth with his hand. Adam swatted the hand away. "People like you are why medical science is so far behind. You have to acknowledge the problem and seek help if we are ever to find cures." "If you can find a cure for your brother's stupid head, then go for it, buddy. I sure haven't ever been able to figure him out." Dean's bitter words looked like they surprised Adam. To Sam, they were sort of encouraging. Dean normally didn't snap out of his funk so quickly unless actual death was imminent. "You two had a fight? Like an honest-to-God, let's-stop-having-sex-and-get-all-pissy-with-each-other fight? In 3 hours?" Adam's gaze flitted back and forth between his two older brothers, his face showing what he thought about the idea. "There's more to life than sex," Sam protested. "Technically, there isn't. Before modern medicine made it possible..." "Dude, not the time for your philosophical debates on whatever geekery you've got going on." Dean's voice was harsh as he spoke, and even though he was talking, he was avoiding even looking in Sam's direction. Adam, curse his intelligence, noticed. "What did you do to him?" he asked as he turned accusing eyes on Sam. "Nothing." "Ain't that the truth?" Dean muttered, not so under his breath. Sam shot him an exasperated look before turning back to his younger brother. "I just had to discuss something important with him." Adam frowned. "Wait, so this wasn't a booty call? You were just trying to get me out of the way?" "Yes, no. Nobody is trying to get you out of the way. Not me, not Dean, not anybody, okay? I just don't feel comfortable discussing certain private things with people that aren't Dean." Dean snorted again, and Sam half expected Adam to join him in his funk. Instead, his little brother tilted his head to one side, then the other. Finally, he opened his mouth and said, "I guess I can see that. Despite the circumstances, we don't know each other as well as we probably should, and I don't have the history with you that Dean does." The response was oddly logical and rational. Sam wasn't sure how he was supposed to react to that. "We're good, then?" he hesitantly asked. "Yeah, sure. I'm not going to hold a grudge when I shouldn't even be insulted," Adam replied casually as he walked over to flop down on the bed that Dean wasn't sitting on. Dean stood up and stalked out the door without saying another word. The Impala roared as he gunned her to life, and Sam resigned himself to listening to Metallica for at least 3 days.
"You want me to sleep on the couch tonight?"
Adam offered.
"No, you shouldn't suffer just because Dean and I are fighting."
"Suit yourself, man. I'm not the one whose dick is going to freeze off when the Ice King returns." Sam didn't reply. Coming back drunk and passing out was what Sam expected Dean to do. The Impala had returned to its parking spot outside the motel not 50 minutes after Dean had left. He hadn't gone to a bar. He'd gone to the liquor store. Sam had gone to bed once it had become apparent that Dean was going to drink himself into a stupor in the dubious comfort of the front seat of his car. He'd hoped that Dean had worked past his need to impulsively drink once he got back on the no train, but that had obviously been the in vain kind of hope. Of course, Dean had never liked to be entirely predictable, even though he totally was in all areas that counted. So, around 3 a.m, Sam woke up to Dean's liquored-up form slamming down on the floor next to Sam's bed. "Dean?" Sam asked as he automatically grabbed his pistol and a pillow to shove under his comatose brother's head. It was just his luck that Dean was drunk as a skunk, but not unconscious. Instead of lying on the floor in a puddle of whiskey and drool, he was kneeling, leaning against the side of the bed. His eyes were glassy and swimming as they tried to focus on Sam. He was also crying.
"I'm sorry," he blubbered out as soon as Sam rolled over to turn on the light.
"Okay, good," Sam replied with false enthusiasm because, seriously, he was still alive. This was not an authorized moment for Dean tears.
"I didn't mean to. You need to forgive me," Dean sobbed.
"For what? Doing a bad drunken Scotsman impersonation?" Sam asked lightly as he rolled out of bed so that he could pull Dean up onto it.
"I'm bad, bad, bad," Dean whispered like it was a confession.
"To the bone," Sam agreed easily. "Now let's get you on the bed so you're comfortable when your head is trying to kill you tomorrow."
"Sam?"
Adam asked from his own bed. His voice was muzzy, and Sam resisted the urge to lecture him about awareness a la John Winchester. If the kid didn't learn to sleep a little lighter, they were going to find him stabbed through in a pile of bloody sheets someday. "Dean's drunk. Ignore him or he'll take it out on you tomorrow," Sam told him. That just made Adam wake up more and look over at the pathetic mess that was his eldest brother.
"I'll go get some soda out of the vending machine. He's going to want it when he's puking his guts up later."
Sam lifted an eyebrow at Adam as he rolled out of bed. "What? I did have teenage friends who had illegal parties, you know," Adam defended as he shoved his shoes on his feet and walked out the door.
"Should go with him. Take the car," Dean advised.
"To get you soda?" Sam asked as he started unlacing Dean's boots.
"Get away from me. Bad for you. Evil," Dean stated.
"Yes, I can see how trying to save the world makes you a bad person."
"No, Sammy. Not funny,"
Dean started struggling as irritation seeped into his tone. Sam jerked away as Dean's flailing caused his feet to jerk. "Dean, really, you need to calm down here."
"No, get away. Far, far away, where I can't hurt you, where I can't force you to."
Dean swallowed thickly and looked away. Sam tugged Dean's boots off and then sat down on the edge of the bed next to his brother, leaving Dean to dangle half on and half off the bed. It would have been painful to anybody less drunk, but Dean was boneless enough that he looked almost comfortable.
"You're not forcing me to do anything. We're partners, remember?" "Kept pushing at you," Dean argued.
Sam rubbed at his forehead and tried not to get irritated. This conversation would be so much better if you were sober and coherent. Dean squinted and flailed his hand around until it slapped down on Sam's thigh.
Kept pushing, he enunciated sloppily.
Yeah, okay, you did. I get you, but it's not like... I'm in it with you, okay? I wouldn't have let you push if I wasn't. I mean, I'm a big boy. I might not always be able to take you in a fair fight, but I know how to fight dirty.
Trapped you. Nowhere else to go,
Dean replied with all seriousness. So I pretended to want you and let you grope me? I'm not a child, and I know what my rights are as a human being. Hell, Dean, I know how to build a life from nothing better than anybody else out there.
Lucifer
doesn't know what I feel or think any better than you apparently do. He was fishing, trying to find something to use against me. He is the devil. Twisting the truth is what he does. I never said he was right. Dean was quiet after that, and if it wasn't for the fact that his eyes were still open and drool wasn't coming out of the side of his mouth, Sam would have thought he'd finally gone unconscious.
Mean it? Dean finally asked.
Yes, I mean it. I want your aging, bow-legged, funny-lipped bod. You make me feel all toasty inside, and even though I'm mildly disturbed by the thought of having your cock anywhere near my asshole, I still want to see just how ridiculous your O-face is when you come. Happy?
Deliriously,
Dean mumbled as he conked out. Adam came back not 2 minutes later with armloads of soda and Twinkies. Twinkies? Sam asked. I was hungry. They're good, Adam said as he dumped his haul on the table.
He finally passed out, huh?
Yeah, Sam said as he tugged the blankets out from under Dean and tucked him in properly.
The offer on the couch still stands. I can't imagine you want to sleep next to the distillery tonight,
Adam commented. Sam smiled down gently at Dean.
No, I think I'll stay right here.
So, I'm thinking that as much as I suck, what with getting the people I fall in love with killed, you're actually worse at this committed relationship stuff than I am. Sam started out as soon as he heard Dean flush the toilet after his first round of puking.
I hate you. Both of you, just to be fair, Dean groaned.
Why do you hate Adam? Sam asked, genuinely curious.
Not Adam. The double of you I was seeing last night, Dean clarified.
Was he an evil Star Trek me? With the evil beard?
Dude, way to be an original series purist, Adam interjected from where he was sorting socks from his early morning laundry run. Don't love you. Hate you and want to die alone, Dean mumbled. So you can go back to your spot in heaven that you share with me.
Brilliant plan there, Sam commented as he walked into the bathroom and sat down on the edge of the tub.
I said stupid stuff last night, huh? Dean asked after a moment.
Sam smiled and reached over to rub at Dean's shoulders.
You say stupid stuff all the time. It's part of your charm. I'm serious, Dean snapped right before he gagged again.
So am I. I don't offer back rubs to just any drunkard heaving into my motel room toilet.
It must be true love,
Adam yelled sarcastically in response. Dean winced at the sound. Don't worry, I'll do horrible things to him that I won't mention right now the next time he's hungover.
Sam, let me apologize so I can die with a clear conscience, Dean begged.
Do you really need to? I've got the gist. You took the whole Lucifer Dreams thing the wrong way. You assumed that you were abusing me, and I was letting it happen because of my epic platonic love for you, and that I didn't know how to tell you no. Then you got drunk because you couldn't face it.
Only because you're stupid in love with me, you woke me up in the middle of the night to cry on my shoulder like a girl, and to tell me to leave you alone with your bad, incest-loving ways. That sounds so much worse than my memory. More stupidity, less noble, self-sacrificing flagellation. Well, you almost pickled your brain last night. Your memory is a little suspect. Also, you need to quit eating thesauruses when you're drunk, Sam said as he handed his brother a glass of water. You two done kissing and making up in there? Adam called. Sam rolled his eyes and stalked out into the main room to hiss quietly at Adam about not giving Dean an even worse headache by yelling. He stopped short because Dean's amulet was dangling from Adam's fingers. What are you doing? Putting away your laundry, which I washed for you because you were too busy cuddling snookums this morning. Sam snatched the amulet out of Adam's grasp. And that gives you the right to dig this out, why? Thought I'd return it to its rightful owner, seeing how you're too chicken, Adam whispered back. Not your call, Sam informed him tersely. It'd be perfect, like a gay promise ring, seeing how you're saving yourself for marriage, Adam pointed out. I'm not saving it for marriage, Sam grunted. You aren't? Because I heard tell that you've got it locked up tighter than a nut. I can hear you whispering out there, and I'm assuming it's about me. Dean's yell was followed by a pained grunt. I'm not. I'm talking to Sam about gay sex, Adam yelled back. Find your own brother to do that with. He is my brother. Find your own little brother, then. I've got dibs on the older one, Dean replied as he stumbled out into the room and crashed face first onto the bed. Kind of impossible unless dear old dad. Finish that sentence and die, Dean threatened, as he leveled a queasy-looking glare over his shoulder at Adam. Okay, Adam, why don't you go, I don't know, buy alcohol or porn or something? Sam suggested as he physically moved between the two of them, pocketing the amulet into his jeans as he moved. Illegal booze or porn. Great, why don't I just go buy a trucker hat and a box of chew while I'm at it? Adam drawled. Sam raised his hands in surrender because, hey, Dean would have been all for a booze and porn run. It wasn't his fault that Mini Dean was breaking form. Then go read up on colleges and shit, so you know where you and Dean are headed when you go play normal after the end of the world gets avoided. His first clue that maybe he shouldn't have suggested that was the lack of sarcastic comments coming from either brother. His second was the, "How did you know about that?" that came out of Adam's mouth. Logically, Sam shouldn't still be hurt by it, because he'd had time to adjust to the idea. But Adam's surprise was a clear sign that he and Dean had planned on not telling him, and that made it bad all over again. Even though Dean had told him the plan, he hadn't originally intended to tell him. I told him, Dean said in his no-nonsense big brother voice that clearly said, drop it. Unfortunately for him, neither of his little brothers ever paid attention to it anymore, if they ever had in the first place. It was supposed to be a secret, Adam exclaimed. Well, don't go trying to save my feelings or anything, Sam said, and yes, he sounded like a sulky little bitch when he said it. It was that or go on a rant about the entire unfairness of his entire fucking life. Or what horrible assholes his brothers were for planning to run off on him when one of them had the balls to confess his undying love, and the other was encouraging him to embrace said love. Bitchy was the least Sam was entitled to be. What's that supposed to mean? Dean asked as he struggled to his feet, eyes squinting in what Sam recognized as hangover pain more than irritation. What do you think it's supposed to mean? Sam shot back. I don't know. All I know is that the two of you are arguing and whispering and fighting, and my head feels like it's going to fall off.
Dean shouted, then winced and rubbed at his forehead. I can't believe you get all upset because I didn't put out because I wanted to talk to you about Satan himself invading my dreams, and now I can't be upset with your little clandestine plan to dump me like some flea-bitten stray for the newer, shinier model. I'm not supposed to be upset that I'm good enough to break a few taboos for a good sex romp, but I'm not good enough for the mortgage, 60-hour-a-week job, and yard full of puppies? Sam pushed all the indignation into his tone that he could muster. Dean just stared blankly at him. It would have been more satisfying if he didn't know the look as the one Dean got when he couldn't grasp something. Still, the blankness was far better than Adam's reaction. The smug little fucker started laughing. If Sam hadn't known that Dean had tested him with all manner of things after they rescued him from Zachariah, he'd swear that the kid was secretly evil. My God! I mean, I thought Dad had communication problems. The whole not mentioning two brothers thing was kind of a clue. But the two of you... Wow, man. Just wow. If I weren't about to throw up, I'd hit you right now, Dean groaned. It's true, Adam retorted. Yeah, well, so is the fact that you're an annoying brat, but I don't feel the need to be telling you that all the time, now do I? Dean snapped back. Adam blithely ignored him and turned his focus on Sam. It was a surprise, you moron. Mr. Lovestruck over there cooked it up one drunken night, kept going on and on about how he wished we could all just have a normal life, how his Sammy deserved to have his little home and college degree, even though you said you didn't want it anymore, how he wished that we could all just settle down like a real family and not worry about angels and demons and the end of the world. Adam, Dean growled threateningly. So I tell him that he should totally tell you that, but the stubborn cuss starts talking about how he tried and you wouldn't hear of it. You just wanted to hunt. To which I say that after the apocalypse, anybody would want some downtime, and if he just happened to hand you it on a silver platter, there was no way you were going to turn him down. Adam paused and leveled a glare at Dean. Of course, the brilliance of the plan was not saying anything so that he didn't have time to shoot holes in it. They all awkwardly shuffled for a moment and eyed their footwear, in Dean's case his socks, before Sam cleared his throat. That true, Dean? No, I made it up off the top of my head, Adam said. Sam pinched Adam's arm and scowled at him. Dean?
Yeah, it's true. Only now you're going to be all huntery and logical about it,
Dean mumbled. Which is better than me thinking I wasn't invited, how? Dean looked affronted at that.
Why would you think you weren't invited?
I don't know, because you told me it was all about Adam and how you were going to be there for him. There wasn't exactly any space left for the giant third wheel to your bromance, Sam told him bitterly.
You're always invited, Dean protested. I mean, most times when you're not doing something stupidly evil and not listening to me about how bad an idea it is.
Maybe I should change my focus to psychology and major in couples counseling. You'd make a great case study. Adam said as he glanced between the two of them. I mean, you're totally dysfunctional and codependent and irrationally obsessed with each other. It's either head shrink or novelist.
Wait, are you trying to figure out how to make money off us?
Dean asked him, incredulity strong on his features.
Yeah,
Adam answered in a tone that clearly said, duh.
Seriously?
Hey, do you think that Chuck could sue him for copyright infringement if he wrote about us? Sam interrupted quickly.
Dean's, we should sue Chuck for copyright infringement on our lives,
was overshadowed by Adam's, I'm smart enough not to do a direct translation. So to recap, Dean and I are uncommunicative losers, and you're a money-hungry one,
Sam announced. Pretty much, Adam agreed. But in your defense, at least you didn't drink yourself to a stupor over it. Dean snorted, and Sam blushed because Sam's drinking problem was far worse than alcohol, and they both knew it. But they'd had enough drama for the past 24 hours, so Sam just smiled and nodded. Dean stumbled back to bed with a promise to not discuss things, in a very unclear fashion with Sam once the dwarves quit mining the insides of his skull for gold. Swamp Thing met its bitter end that night, much to both Adam and Dean's delight. Seemed that even though it was covered in wet slime, the potion that ended it caused flames and a small explosion. It made getting rid of the body a moot point. Dean was all for hunting down every single one of them after the apocalypse was finally averted. Adam told him that they needed to buy seasons of Mythbusters on DVD because there were totally explosions in almost every episode, and it would be worth the money and having to store them in the Impala. Sam objected to the plan when it started to include using his laptop as a DVD player, but he got vetoed when an unhinged zombie broke into a media store in a small city in Kentucky. Adam pocketed a portable player while Sam and Dean had pretended to survey the crime scene as federal investigators. Dean approved wholeheartedly. Sam just shook his head and wondered if the whole morally dubious way of life was really the learned behavior that he thought it had been. Given their proclivity towards incest and Adam's odd support of it, maybe their father had really just been a ball of criminal intent waiting to happen. Not that there had been a whole lot of incest going on lately, because Dean was a contrary bastard. Once they'd finally gotten their issues aired out, and Sam was on the right page with the still being wanted and desired and not going to be discarded because of the crappy hand that fate had dealt him, Dean just seemed to lose interest. Or, rather, he seemed to lose interest in sex. He still seemed to be on board with the boyfriend bit if the way he glared at any pretty brunette that gave Sam so much as a smile was any indication. Then again, knowing Dean, it could also be him being overprotective, working out emotional trauma, or just plain being a dick for the sheer pleasure of reminding himself that he's the oldest and the coolest Winchester brother. Sam didn't think he was the best person to analyze Dean's behavior. His taste in significant others was for shit ever since Jess, so there was a chance that he'd actually sabotaged his relationship with Dean by virtue of being in it in the first place. "Sammy, pay attention," Dean commanded as he dangled his car keys in front of Sam's face. Sam swatted his hand away and made a sound of disgust. It was pure habit to do it, but Dean grinned anyway and brought the keys right back up, jangling them this time so that they let out a metallic chime. Sam batted at them again with an added grunt. Dean brought them back and bounced them up and down. Sam tried to grab at the keys this time, but Dean jerked them away with a silent chuckle. "Oh my God, you too!" Adam snapped from the other side of the room where he was trying to watch an infomercial of some sort. "Isn't he adorable? He used to do the same thing when he was a baby," Dean said in a tone that was disturbingly doting. "Dude, that's kinda sick," Adam informed him, for which Sam was grateful because he didn't want to be the one to tell Dean that. Dean didn't look all that upset about it. "Whatever, you're just jealous." "Did you want something?" Sam asked, before they could get into a squabble about Adam's lack of an inappropriate homosexual relationship with a close relative. "Now that you mention it..." Dean drifted off and waggled his eyebrows. Sam rolled his eyes and looked pointedly at the keys that were still clutched in Dean's hand. "Take a drive with me?" Dean ordered more than asked. "Why?" "So I can watch television in peace?" Adam suggested. Dean shot their little brother a dirty look. "So that we can talk about Adam and plan his gruesome demise." "Like I won't get resurrected anyway, fucking angels," Adam grumbled as he jacked the volume up on his program. Sam groaned and pushed out of his chair to go grab his jacket.
Better to go with Dean and find out what he wanted than to listen to Dean bicker with Mini-Dean. They drove out of town with the radio blasting. Dean, unsurprisingly, said nothing once they actually made it out to the car. He was driving with purpose, though, not checking out road signs or glancing around at intersections. He knew where he was headed. Sam wasn't sure if that was a good thing or not. Finally, Dean pulled off on a partially obscured dirt road. They traveled down its potholed surface farther than Sam would have expected his brother to drive his beloved car over such a surface when they weren't actually on a case. It was a momentary shock to Sam's ears when the blaring sound of the music cut off along with the purr of the Impala's engine. They sat for a moment, shaded in by trees growing too close to the road, listening to the car tick as it settled and cooled. Dean's hands fisted on the steering wheel as he gazed out the windshield. He didn't say anything, but it was clear by the way he kept clenching and releasing his jaw that he was trying to work up to it. After a couple of minutes, he finally unbuckled his seatbelt and turned towards Sam. Then he practically plastered himself against Sam as he wriggled his 6-foot frame over the console and into Sam's lap. It wasn't comfortable by any means. Dean ate cheeseburgers and fries and worked out by running for his life. He was heavy. Sam would have complained about having Dean cut off his circulation in such a manner if he hadn't had Dean's tongue in his mouth. And, okay, Dean's tongue was still amazingly talented, in a really hot and nasty kind of way that may have been giving Sam's dick ideas. His mumbled, was meant to convey a myriad of things, including, "Get your bony knee off my hip," and "Let's get naked." Dean answered his comment with his own hybrid whine that was, admittedly, sexier and more lust-inducing than Sam's. The fact that Dean managed to wriggle a hand between them to start working on the fly of Sam's jeans was just plain unfair. Sam tried to reciprocate and prove that he wasn't completely outclassed in the sex department by sliding his own hands down Dean's back to grab at his ass. Only said buttocks were firmly pushed up against the dashboard. Sam didn't fancy getting his fingers broken by trying to wedge them into the non-existent gap. Dean didn't seem to notice Sam's conundrum, as he continued to make pleased little noises in his throat while his lips did vile things to his brother's mouth, and his one unfettered hand managed to actually unbutton and unzip Sam's jeans, which also meant that he had managed to unbuckle his belt. Dexterity like that was just not natural. Finally, Dean moved off Sam's mouth and proceeded to kiss along his jaw until he latched onto the soft juncture where it met up with Sam's neck. He hummed to himself as he sucked at that point, and for a second, Sam felt his brain go offline as his blood supply tried to migrate entirely to his cock. Still, the passenger side front seat of any car, not even Dean's beloved Impala, was not made for two muscular men of over 6 feet tall to have sex in. "Dean!" Sam finally managed to protest. Dean stopped his sucking, but didn't move his mouth from its location when he replied, "That doesn't sound like a happy Dean." "I'm going to lose my leg if you don't get off it, Dean," Sam confirmed. While he really wanted to continue the process of getting laid, he'd like to have all of his limbs in working order afterwards. He needed his legs for running from zombies and running towards his impending doom. They were essential that way. Dean grunted and swore and shimmied a little, which let blood back into Sam's leg. His nerve endings abruptly started firing up to inform him that they didn't like Dean's sexy bow-legged ways one damn bit. "Fuck," Sam hissed as he tried to shift to ease the non-erection throbbing that started up. "Was the idea," Dean agreed sullenly as he twisted to crawl back over to the driver's side. Sam fought the smile that tugged at his lips. "Are you pouting?" "No." You are pouting," Sam crowed. Dean grunted and let himself out of the car, slamming the door shut behind him. While Sam was usually the one stalking away in a huff, he wasn't exactly unfamiliar with chasing after his brother. It didn't take him long to follow after. "Dean, come on," he protested as he chased after him.
"It isn't funny, Sammy," Dean snapped as he spun around to face his brother.
"You were trying to seduce me in the Impala," Sam said slowly, putting on his best shy smile. He had no idea if it would work on Dean, but it used to work wonders on Jess when she was pissed at him.
"Yeah, so I thought it'd be romantic," Dean huffed out.
Sam felt his eyebrows rise and barely fought off the urge to jerk his head a little in shock.
"Romantic? What? It was," Dean said, and Sam cursed the fact that Dean had had a lifetime of reading Sam's facial expressions.
Getting busy on the side of a road in the middle of nowhere on a Tuesday afternoon in a car that our father left you is not anybody's definition of romantic. Dean looked offended at that.
"It's got symbolism."
"What?"
"We both lost our virginity in that car, and I kind of figured that we could lose our, you know, together."
Sam had to admit that the idea was kind of romantic, in a dysfunctional Dean sort of way. Still, it wasn't the best thought-out plan in the world.
"In the front seat?" he asked.
Dean shrugged.
"I got ahead of myself."
Sam nodded, then tilted his head to the side.
"Huh. What?"
"Well, we're out here already, and if we keep putting this off, it's only going to get more awkward because first times always are, even if you aren't getting it on with..."
Dean cut Sam off with a kiss. "Can't you just ask me to fuck you?"
"I was hoping to fuck you," Sam corrected. Dean frowned and then headed back towards the car. He turned his head around to shout over his shoulder,
"Okay, but not always, 'cause a man can't ignore his urges all the time, not even when he's in love."
Sam shook his head and followed, watching as Dean started stripping on his way back to the car. He didn't toss his clothes aside, but he did manage to yank off his shirts and keep them clutched in his hands. Sam tried not to appreciate the view too much. His own jeans were still gapping open, and Dean would notice if his interest had fully returned without any additional touching.
"Took you long enough," Dean said as he dropped his shirts next to the car and proceeded to work on removing the rest of his clothing, starting with his boots.
It wasn't the sexiest strip that Sam had ever seen. It was sort of disturbingly normal, just Dean getting undressed in a hurry, eerily similar to the way he disrobed whenever he was covered in monster goo of the week. Still, at the end of it, Dean was naked and hard, and Sam's dick appreciated the view. A lot. Dean swept his eyes over Sam's still-clothed form slowly.
"I'm surprised you ever get laid."
Sam flipped him off and yanked his flannel shirt off, throwing it at his brother. Dean caught it easily. Instead of tossing it into the pile of his own discarded clothing, he opened the back door to the Impala and crawled into the back seat with it. The view of Dean's pale ass as he crawled in distracted Sam for a moment before he hurriedly stumbled out of his own clothes. Dean wasn't the only Winchester that had perfected the art of disrobement. When he ducked his head into the car, he could see Dean wiggling on his hands and knees. His cock jerked a little as he watched the movement.
"What are you doing?"
Sam practically purred as he bent to climb in and join. Dean glanced over his shoulder and waggled his eyebrows suggestively.
"Laying your stupid shirt down so we don't get spunk on my baby."
Sam felt his mouth open at that, but he couldn't really say anything. On the one hand, he wanted to get laid very badly. On the other, it was his shirt.
"And on the other, I'm about to let you put that thing up my ass in the name of orgasms and the ending of unbearable sexual tension. Get over it,"
Dean groused, as he performed his eerie older brother mind-reading trick again.
"I hate you,"
Sam grumbled, even as he slid his hands over Dean's backside to grab at his hips.
"But you love my perky ass and pretty lips," Dean countered.
Sam curved down to place a kiss on the small of Dean's back.
"Don't remember saying anything about your lips."
Dean hummed a little in appreciation before responding with,
"You were thinking it. Everybody does. Mostly because I'm an awesome kisser, but sometimes because they think I should be doing other things with them."
Sam smiled and started kissing his way up Dean's spine to the back of his neck, shifting awkwardly in the car to accommodate the motion.
"I'm a good kisser myself. We should kiss together and compare notes," he whispered against Dean's ear.
Dean grunted, and instead of turning his head to comply with Sam's not-so-subtle kissing suggestion, he smacked his brother in the abdomen with a backwards-moving fist. Sam opened his mouth to protest, but it dawned on him that Dean's fist wasn't quite solid and seemed to be holding a small bottle of lube and a condom packet.
"Smooth, real smooth," Sam complained, even as he took the items and tossed the condom up on the back window ledge so that he had both hands free to apply the lube.
"Horny, very horny,"
Dean corrected as he squirmed forward to give Sam more room and coincidentally shoved his backside up higher.
"You're pushy and bossy," Sam grumbled as he squirted a glob of lube straight into Dean's ass crack.
"Fuck," Dean hissed in response. "That isn't the self-warming stuff, Sammy."
"I know."
"Thinking about not putting out," Dean growled.
Sam snorted and ran his fingers through the lube so that he could start rubbing against Dean's pucker. He slid his other hand between Dean's legs to grasp at his erection. It was still hard and hot, and it was already leaking. Dean writhed encouragingly, but didn't say anything.
"Yeah, I can see that you're not into this anymore," Sam taunted, just as he shoved the tip of a finger in.
There wasn't much resistance, and Dean reared back against the intrusion, forcing the finger farther inside than Sam had been planning. It was hot and snug. Sam bit his lip in concentration because he didn't want it to be his finger in there. He wanted it to be his penis. He wanted to be on top of Dean, fucking in and out of that tiny, forbidden place. He wanted to make his big brother moan and whine and take pleasure from having Sam inside of him. Letting out a little growl, Sam shoved his second finger in more forcefully than he had intended. Dean hissed at the intrusion, but didn't shift away. Sam twisted his fingers together and pushed them in and out of the hole, watching with unhealthy fascination as the little opening gripped around them.
"Aren't you supposed to be stretching and stuff? Not going to fit that cock in there if you don't work me a little more, Sammy."
Sam forced himself not to roll his eyes. Why did he ever think that Dean would quit being his know-it-all self just because they were about to have sex? He was tempted to just shove a third finger in out of spite, but even with the lube, Dean felt too tight. The last thing that Sam needed to do was put Dean in actual pain or tear him from improper stretching. He'd never hear the end of it. With a bit more flexing and twisting, he managed to get a third finger in. By that time, Dean was grunting obscenities, and Sam was pretty much agreeing with him wholeheartedly. Mindlessly, he pulled his fingers free with a pop and rubbed lube over his cock, staring intently at the way that Dean's pucker was instantly shadowed once Sam's hand wasn't there to keep the opening exposed.
"Come on," Dean hissed.
Sam tore open the condom and rolled it on as fast as he could given the slick state of his hands. He was going to have to work on his lubing technique. Girls were so much easier in that area.
"Quit thinking, start fucking," Dean snapped as he wiggled his ass impatiently.
"My brother, the romantic," Sam mumbled as he lined the head of his cock up and pushed.
"Sammy,"
Dean groaned, and Sam felt both disappointment and pride that there wasn't a hint of discomfort in the sound. Adam might be a little right about them having complex relationship issues, Sam wasn't the type that liked to cause his partner's pain. Slowly he thrust forward while Dean fucked backwards at a quicker pace. Only when he was fully sheathed did Dean reach backwards to hold him still.
"Give me a second," he panted. "You're bigger than I thought."
Sam kissed his shoulder soothingly in response. Dean snorted.
"Dude, not a girl."
Sam reached around to cup Dean's balls gently and roll them in his palm.
"No, you're not."
Dean purred a little and wriggled. Sam moaned because, yeah, Dean was warm and tight on his dick, and Sam learned that 6-foot-plus of wriggling muscle was very underrated. It was hot and sexy despite the lack of jiggling curves. Maybe better. The extra power behind the motion was so worth the lack of boobs.
"Dean,"
Sam whined, and circled his hips a little, trying to get a little friction going.
Okay, take me, big boy."
Sam rolled his eyes, then pulled out a little and thrust back in. Dean made an encouraging noise that was obviously faked for Sam's benefit. Sam redoubled his efforts because there was no way he was going to be that guy that was a selfish bastard in bed. Dean taught him better than that. It took him 5 embarrassing thrusts before he finally got the angle right to hit Dean's prostate. A seatbelt buckle was digging into his left knee, and he was going to be feeling the stretch in his inner right thigh from the way that he was holding his weight on it. But Dean had literally started to tremble and whimper when he'd finally hit the spot. It was a beautiful sight to see, all of that muscled back quivering in anticipation of his next thrust, and Dean's mouth was uttering tiny uhs of pleasure that were far better than any phony porn dialogue.
"Like that?"
he teased as he started rolling his hips in a faster rhythm now that he had the right angle. Dean, the bastard, wriggled again in response, and Sam's next 2 thrusts were off their mark. He couldn't help it. The sight of Dean's backside moving like that was distracting, especially with the way that it was holding Sam's cock inside.
"You asked for it,"
Sam warned his brother before starting to pump harder.
"Fuck, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Damned hips are good for something."
Dean's words were less inspired dirty talk and more commentary, but the pleasure from the act wasn't letting Sam's brain process much beyond the fact that Dean liked the new pace. So naturally, he upped the ante, and then promptly forgot all about Dean for a few seconds because, holy fuck, it felt great. It was better than at least the last 3 women he'd slept with. It was possibly better than his first time with Jess, even with the seatbelt holder that was digging into his left knee and the cramp developing in his lower back.
"Sammy!"
Dean's whine was accompanied by another shift of muscles as he redistributed his weight onto one arm, reaching down between his legs to tug at his own cock. The strength in the movements distracted Sam for a second. He knew how powerful and tough Dean was, but the way that his shoulder flexed and strained to even out their combined weight was almost hypnotic. It was beautiful in a way that it shouldn't be.
"Fuck, Dean,"
he whimpered as he increased the tempo of his pounding even more.
"That's the idea,"
Dean grunted sarcastically, but the words lost their sting due to the breathless way they were said. The Impala rocked, its springs taking the brunt of their movements as easily as she had any bumpy road or demon attack. Then Sam groaned, and his muscles locked up, and he started coming. It was bad form. Dean was never ever going to let him forget that he was topping and came first. The top never came first. It was one of Dean's sacred sex rules. Rules that he had drilled into a teenage Sam's head before his first date, despite the pillows that he'd tried to clamp over his ears.
"Ugh,"
Sam grunted as he tried to keep thrusting, sweeping a hand over Dean's back and sighed to encourage him. It worked. Dean's entire frame stiffened, and his arm quit flexing for a split second as he choked out a moan. He grunted again as his hand started moving at a much slower pace, obviously wringing out the last of his orgasm. Sam leaned back, working a hand between their bodies to grasp at the base of the condom before pulling out. Forget worrying about the upholstery. Spunk coming out of a condom was just not sexy.
Fuck,
Dean said as Sam pulled out. He stretched like a cat, muscles rippling down from his shoulders to his ass, and Sam fought to keep a scowl off his face as his dick twitched the tiniest bit in response. Dean was totally doing that little arching thing on purpose, and he full well knew that Sam wasn't able to do anything about it. Cock tease, Sam accused as he awkwardly maneuvered to get out of the back seat and dispose of the condom.
Aw, Sammy, already? I'm flattered,
Dean drawled as he shuffled backwards to pull up the clothing that he'd dropped in the seat to take care of his own cum.
Jerk.
No, wait, bitch, Sam hissed, purposely overemphasizing the word. Dean slid back faster, naked ass pushing into Sam, overbalancing him so that he toppled out of the back door and onto the ground.
What was that, Sammy? I thought I heard something, but it's hard to hear over your little girl whining,
Dean taunted. His pale ankle was just within reach. It'd be easy to grab hold of it and pull Dean out into the wilderness with him, but Sam refrained. For one thing, he didn't want Dean's heavy carcass crashing down on him. For another, Dean was still on all fours as he padded over the seats of the Impala, making sure that none of their exploits had damaged her. If Sam yanked on him, there was a good chance that Dean was going to hit his privates in the fall. There was no way that Sam was ever going to put himself in the position of doing that to Dean's second most prized possession.
You ought to be happy that ass of yours has survived all the burgers you've eaten, otherwise I'd trade you in,
Sam grumbled as he struggled to his feet, dusting dirt and dead grass off parts of him that he generally avoided getting so dirty.
For a younger model? You cheating on me with the little Winchester?
Already? Dean mocked heartlessly as he twisted around in the back seat and somehow came out with a pair of underwear on. Sam looked over at their heap of discarded clothing. There were still two pairs of underwear there.
You stashed boxers in there?
Dude, please, boxer briefs, Dean corrected as he slid out of the back and started getting dressed, tossing items of Sam's clothing at him.
I really hate you sometimes, Sam grumbled.
Yeah, but the rest of the time you love me.